Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. It's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the New Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. And we come today to Luke chapter 1 in verse 57. Very long chapter, as if this is a long gospel. Today we'll be looking at Luke 1, 57 through 80. Now we read in verse 57, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her." So Elizabeth's dreams have finally come true, and not only was she able to conceive, but she was conceiving a child who had an amazing job to do, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And notice how the neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. This word mercy is an interesting word. It's help for those who are in distress, help for those who really are in need. Elizabeth was a godly woman, and the mercy showed to her was in reference to having a child. And she was barren for so long, and this was a mercy to her. This was God helping her out in such a way as to comfort her and to aid her. And we're going to see the word mercy used a couple times in this chapter, up in verse 72. And also in verse 78, it's connected with God's redemption plan for Israel as well and for the world. And so notice also these neighbors and cousins rejoice with her. Here they have empathy. You know, the Apostle Paul says to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That means to have empathy. That means to put yourself in the other's shoes and to be glad as if it were their own child being born. And this tells us something, that there were a lot of really good people in Israel, people who were kind and loved Jehovah. And there were a lot of people like that. And the common idea was that all these Jews of the first century were wicked. That's not true. The majority were good. The common people heard the Lord Jesus gladly when he came and announced the good news of the government of God. And it was the leaders who were the trouble. It was the leaders who caused all the problems. And so that's something you should keep in mind. The common idea that Israel as a whole, the majority of people were no good, is just not a true statement. And then we come to verse 59. "And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child." And that was the custom in Israel. You could see the Old Testament for that. "And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father." Now, this was common. They would call the child after somebody in the family, probably the father, because remember in Israel, the family and inheritance were so important. Things were passed on. "And his mother answered and said, 'Not so, but he shall be called John.'" Now remember, Zacharias can't talk at this point. And so when they come to name the child, it's Elizabeth who has to speak up. And she says, no, it's not going to be Zacharias, it's going to be John. "And they said unto her, 'There's none of thy kindred that is called by this name.'" You don't have any family with that name. "And they made signs to his father how he would have him called." In other words, they were saying, "This better talk to the head of the family here. What do you think, Zacharias? Write it down." And he asked for a writing tablet, probably motioned with his fingers or his hands, you know, showing, you know, "Give me something to write on." And he wrote saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And they marveled because it was contrary to custom. Again, names and inheritance were very important in Israel. Things were passed down in families, and it had to do with their allotments. Well, and it says in verse 64, "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God." So here are the first words that Zacharias has spoken in 9 months since he was in the temple and he saw Gabriel. And he's opening his mouth now in praise to God. His mouth was shut because of unbelief, and now it's opened in praise to God. And it says in verse 65, "And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea." So it became well known, the situation. Something was going on, and people were, verse 66, "And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What manner of child shall this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him." So people were expecting something. These were good people who were waiting, and they believed the promises of the Old Testament, and they were looking for this restitution of all things promised, in the promises to Abraham and the promises promises to David. And we're going to see those names prominent in Zacharias's praise here. He's going to talk about Abraham and David, just like the Apostle Paul does. There is a connection with the Apostle Paul and Luke. And there's a connection with the promises made to David and Abraham in Paul's ministry. And Paul quotes them often. And let me just say this. Some people have the idea that when Paul quotes the Old Testament, that the quotations all of a sudden are like new creations, that Paul takes things out of context just to suit his gospel. Well, that's not true. You can't isolate Paul like that. Paul is building on what went before. He's not creating something entirely new. It's connected. And so we have to see that, or we're going to have a warped view of Paul's ministry. And that's why Peter warned those he wrote to about those who twist Paul's message to their own ruin. And it says here, they wanted to know what manner of child this would be, and the hand of the Lord was with him. So the Lord was with him in certain ways as John was born and as he grew up. And it says in verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. That means God's power. He was filled with God's Spirit and prophesied, saying, now this is a prophecy. He's speaking about the future here. He's talking about fulfilling the promises of God. Now notice what he says. He starts off, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Speak well of him. Sounds like the words in Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it's, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his people. This word visit is fascinating. It's used again in verse 78, where we read, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And it's used in the book of Ruth, where Ruth learns while she was in the land of Moab, how that God, the Lord, had visited his people with bread. It has to do with God in mercy dealing with his people and helping them out. And that's what we have here. We have this with the coming of John the Baptist and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the promises and the mercy being displayed toward his people, bringing in these wonderful promises. And so he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation. This is a figure of speech. Horn is put for strength. And many times it's reference to the horn of God's anointed one. It's the power connected with his kingship and his authority. It says, he hath raised up an horn of salvation, a governor, basically, who's going to bring the promises in and save his people and give them peace and blessing. It says, he hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now notice the Lord visited and redeemed his people in its connection with the house of David. And we talk about in the book of Ruth that the Lord had visited his people. And in the book of Ruth, we see the direct line to King David. Interesting how those words are used. God visiting his people. Verse 70. As he spake, all this is done, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the eon, since the age. Some people have an idea that there are five ages and only five, and I think that's wrong. One of the people I know who teach only five ages says that this is referring to the first age, which is before Genesis 1-2, and this is the interpretation they give. And so there were angelic messengers between Genesis 1-1 and 1-2 that spoke about this, but that's not what this says at all. It says here, these who've been since the age. Well, since what age? Since this age, the age we're living in, from the age. In other words, these go all the way back to Abraham in the age, in the current age we live in. Abraham was called the first prophet. Samuel was a prophet. And these are the promises regarding the house of David and the blessings of Abraham, which he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the age. And you can find these in the Old Testament scriptures, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. It's like an exodus here, a deliverance, a salvation from enemies and the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, his agreement, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father. And that oath you can find in Genesis chapter 22, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And that's also a reference to Genesis 15, where we have an exodus that took place. And in Genesis 15, God tells Abraham that their seed was going to be in a servants in a land that wasn't theirs, and they were going to be afflicted. And afterwards, they were going to be brought out of that land. Well, what's interesting, in the coming kingdom of God, prior to this kingdom, there's going to be be a second exodus for Israel, and it's now referring to the exodus of Exodus chapter 12. And it's going to be an exodus, a deliverance for them, and this is going to be their new exodus, which they're going to rejoice in. And it's going to bring in these promises, and so they're going to be delivered out of the hand of their enemies and them that hate them, so that they can serve the Lord without fear. Serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now notice this, in verses 68 to 75, Zacharias is speaking to Jehovah and marveling at his great purposes for the kingdom of God for Israel, how they're going to be delivered, and they're going to serve Jehovah in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of their lives. And notice that this is a kingdom where immortality is not there yet. The coming kingdom of God, when God delivers Israel for their second exodus and this kingdom begins, it's going to be a kingdom where there's not immortality yet. There's going to be resurrection, but not immortality just yet. There's no immortality until the presence of Jesus Christ, which takes place far in the future. But there's going to be this coming kingdom of God. And I think, according to Paul's letters, we're going to be part of this glorious kingdom, and we're going to be there, blessed, grafted in to these wonderful promises, according to Ephesians 2 and Romans 11. But we'll have a position of high authority and pure grace, but we'll have this place with on this earth as part of God's ruling class, and chosen not because of greatness, but chosen because of grace. But here it says that they're going to serve him in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of their lives. So it's not going to be immortality yet, but it's going to be a time of peace, a time where they'll serve in righteousness their great God. And this is the kingdom. This is referring to the kingdom of God, the fulfillment of the promises given to David and Abraham. And when you read Acts 2 and 3, that's what Peter talks about, these restitution of all things that the prophets spoke about. And this is what is coming. And now notice in verse 76, now Zacharias looks at the child and he says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest." Here's a reference to the Almighty God, Genesis 17. "For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Jesus is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, and John's going before him. And here's what he's going to do, verse 77, "to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God." There's that word mercy for the third time. "Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." There's that word visit again. "To give light." And this is the word epiphania, that we have the shining forth of the Savior. It's a shining forth to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Apostle Paul talks about his shining forth, that is to say, his kingdom. And that's what this is a reference to. This is a reference to the day when the kingdom of God begins, when God once again will pour out his Spirit, and people in this world will have a sense of awe in their hearts for God. Israel will be restored after having experienced their second exodus, and the kingdom of God will begin, and it will know no borders. And this is why this is such good news. And this kingdom will take place and will exist for a long period of time, followed by a brief period of rebellion, and then things will wrap up when Jesus Christ personally returns to begin his millennial reign. Well, these are just some things to ponder, and I just love this phrase in verse 79. It's to shine forth to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And it says in verse 80, "And the child grew," speaking of John, "and waxed strong in spirit, was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." All right, we're going to stop there. What a glorious thing, this prophecy of Zacharias, looking forward to that coming kingdom of God, a kingdom where life spans will be expanded, the earth will change, Israel will be restored, there will be resurrections, but yet not immortality yet. It'll be a time of peace, a time of service, a time of righteousness, and that is what's next on God's calendar. And this is what Zacharias is prophesying. And in that day, Israel no longer say, "Remember when we came out of Egypt?" Nope. They're going to remember that coming Exodus, in which they will be redeemed. Well, there's a lot more we can talk about, but we'll be getting into those things in other programs, especially when we look at books like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and things like that, where we talk about that future exodus for that nation. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.